This is the Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. Franco Terrazano is not on this episode. I know. We're all really sad about it, too. But he's on a secret mission somewhere in the prairies, and he's actually driving himself. So I'm a little freaked out, and I haven't heard back from him in a while. So hopefully Franco's doing just fine in his mission. But we've got a really special podcast episode for you. We're going to get right into the elections that are happening in three separate provinces across Canada right now. And I'm really happy to be joined by three of my friends and colleagues with the CTF. Let's go around the horn. Carson Binda, he is the BC director for the CTF. Obviously, they're in the middle of an election in British Columbia. Gage, he is our prairie director. Hey, Gage.
How's it going?
They've got an election happening in Saskatchewan. I know. You know, I will admit, even here in Alberta, I'm not hearing very much about the Saskatchewan election, so I want to hear more about it. And Devin Drover. Devin is our in-house counsel, also known as in-house lawyer. He's also our Atlantic director. So thanks so much for joining us, Devin.
Happy to be here.
Do you guys want to hear a nice, clean mom lawyer joke?
Oh, absolutely. God.
It's actually really good. Okay, so this dude's wandering the desert island that he's shipwrecked on, of course, because that's what happens. And he's super sad, and he trips over this genie lamp. And you know what happens? Picks up the genie lamp, rubs it, out pops the genie. You know, congratulations, you have three wishes. And the guy's super happy. He's like, oh, man, finally, three wishes. Okay, my first wish, no more lawyers. Genie says, done, no more wishes. Dude's like, hey, I thought I had three wishes. Genie, sue me. one of those rare pro lawyer jokes. So I thought you'd like to have them in your back pocket, Devin. Let's start out there with you. No problem. I got your back. So also because you're a lawyer. So Devin, you're out there on the rock. You're in Newfoundland. So that means you're in Atlantic Canada. Pro tip. A lot of people don't know this. The Maritimes are only the southern provinces of Atlantic Canada. If you want to say Atlantic Canada, you're including all of them plus Newfoundland and Labrador. But let's take a look at New Brunswick. What is happening with New Brunswick's election, and what are some major kind of taxpayer themes that you're seeing in this one?
Yeah, so I think there's kind of three big things I've been paying a lot of attention to, and I know our supporters have been watching closely. That's first, tax cuts are on the menu in New Brunswick this year, which obviously we love to see. And kind of the big debate right now that's happening is either Premier Blaine Higgs has committed to cutting the HST from 15% total to 13%, which would save the average New Brunswicker about $1,000, according to his government's math. That is the big proposal from the PCs there. They're not looking at, you know, they've really toned down their spending announcements to focus on this this pledge. The other side of the coin is you have Liberals led by Susan Holt, who's looking at kind of selective tax cuts. So, for example, removing HST from home energy bills, and as well some kind of other niche stuff. And then completely on the other end, though unlikely to get elected or to win the election, the Green leader, David Kuhn, has pledged to actually cut the small business tax from 2.5% to 1%. So that would be quite a big cut there. So yeah, tax cuts are being discussed. So that's always good to see. But the flip of the coin, spending's being discussed quite heavily. New Brunswick has ran, I believe, seven straight budget surpluses in a row now. And, you know, both the PCs and the Liberals are trying to commit to that. However, it's also politicians love to come out election time and talk about how they're going to spend your money through all these new fancy programs. So you see the Liberals are facing a bit of criticism now for showing new ways they want to invest, the quote they use by that, of course, it means spending your money on fancy programs and projects. So right now, I think there's about $300 million in new spending, they're saying. And they're facing some backlash on their budget calculations, which looks at their forecasted budget deficit may actually be $1 billion if they don't figure out how they're going to fund some of this stuff. So there's a lot of discussion there about kind of new spending and what's going to happen. And the last thing that's really been a focus for us over the last couple of years is the carbon tax. So Blaine Higgs, the premier, has announced last week that his province will start a new court case against the carbon tax, which I've talked about on this podcast recently. The Liberals aren't looking to join or to start a new legal fight if they're elected. And Susan Holt has said she's not planning on bringing in a carbon tax, at least not right now. So does open the door for a future carbon tax specific to New Brunswick. So a lot of interesting things happen, but yeah, really it's about tax cuts. What is going to happen to spending and how they can keep spending low to keep balancing the budget, and also the future of the carbon tax, at least as it comes to New Brunswick.
That's really good to hear. The taxes, spending, budgets are all primetime topics for the election. That's very good to hear. And also, one of these days, we should put out a taxpayer universal translator. Investment means spending your money. So we should have a little cheat sheet going. Gage, what is happening next door in Saskatchewan? Like, is this just going to be another, you know, fait accompli, or is this an actual horse race? What's happening there?
So I would say that it's the closest to any sort of race we've had in Saskatchewan for a long time. You know, I'm not that old of a guy. So the SAS party's been in power for basically as long as I've been conscious on this sort of thing. So it's interesting to see. But again, we're seeing much more of a taxpayer friendly election. It's not a competition of who's promising tax cuts. It's more of a competition of whose tax cuts are better. And that's great things for taxpayers. You know, the SAS party is promising an income tax cut where if you meet all the right requirements, they say you could save over $2,000 over 4 years. That's a pretty good chunk of cash. Whereas the NDP is firing back with their own two tax cuts, removing a bunch of stuff that the PST has applied on to make it a little bit cheaper, as well as starting a 6-month gas tax extension. And that's 15 cents a liter here in Saskatchewan. That's also some pretty good savings.
Ooh.
But when you look at the two, the good thing about the SAS party's commitment to taxpayers is that it's going to be a permanent cut, whereas the NDP has only said they're going to be doing this gas tax cut for 6 months. So you have to bear that in mind as well. But also the parties, just like in New Brunswick, are talking a lot about balanced budgets. You know, of course, each party is going to say the other one's numbers are wrong, and that they're both not going to reach it. But it's good that it's actually in the conversation. Both have said they want to balance the budget in the next term. The SAS party was saying they're going to balance it next year, but with the tax cuts, they're going to have to find some savings to do that as well. But it's great to see from both sides that taxpayers actually have options when it comes to saving money and balancing budgets. And we'll see what ends up at the end of the month.
Is it nice that they're actually kind of listening to you on things like the fuel tax cut or fuel tax suspension, finally?
Yeah, I feel a little excited about that. I've been talking about that in Saskatchewan for, you know, at least a year, and the NDP have even said that we've been calling for it. So it's good to see them put that in action. And hopefully, even if the SAS party wins, it's something they consider as well, because Saskatchewan is a place of long drives. So it'd be good to get some savings that way.
Yes, everything is hours away from everything else. Even though you can see it, you still need
that makes the drive shorter, so it's good.
You still need to drive there. Plus, if you guys get that done, like, that'll really help me pressure the premier here in Alberta. I mean, if Wab Canoe in Manitoba and our next door neighbors in Saskatchewan both have suspended fuel taxes, please, Madam Premier, that's going to be my pitch. Carson, you're in my home territory of British Columbia doing an outstanding job of pushing for things like balanced budgets, tax cuts. Some of the language I'm hearing out of this BC election is making me a little homesick and wistful. So way to go. What are some top taxpayer issues that you're seeing popping out during this election?
Oh my goodness, Chris. This election has me feeling like a little kid at Christmas, writing out my wish list and reading it to a mall Santa, or in this case, the politicians running to be our next premier. And I've been hearing from our supporters around the province that there's a few things they want to see now, day one of a new government. The first one, no shocker here, folks. We need carbon tax relief. This shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, but here in British Columbia, we pay the highest taxes on gasoline and diesel fuel, not just in Canada, but across North America. We were also the first jurisdiction to bring in a carbon tax, which means British Columbians have been punished for heating their homes and driving to work longer than anyone else in the country. It's finally time to put the last nail in the carbon tax's coffin. Here in BC, we also don't just have one carbon tax. Oh, no. That's not good enough for us on the West Coast. We have two carbon taxes. cutting those would save about $23 per minivan fill up. For normal families, we're struggling to make ends meet in BC right now. That's real savings. If they fill up once a year, that works out to about $1,200 just in those two carbon taxes. Add on top of that, the $330 that your average BC household pays on the carbon tax on home heating fuels this winter, and we're looking at some serious savings if the people running to be premier do the right thing and cut both of those carbon taxes on day one. And you know what, Chris? We're making progress. For the first time in a while here in BC, the winds of change are blowing, and both people who are likely to be premier, David Eby, our incumbent from the NDP, and John Rustad with the upstart Conservatives here in BC, they're both promising to cut gas taxes. But the way John Rustad's promising to do it's a lot better for BC taxpayers. John Rustad has promised to cut both carbon taxes. That's huge. Cutting just the consumer carbon tax, the first one, that's not good enough. And that's what David Eby said he's going to do. But he's doing it in a really bad way. First of all, he wants to wait for Justin Trudeau's permission to axe the carbon tax. And folks at home, do you think Justin Trudeau, carbon tax king Justin Trudeau, is going to give us on the West Coast permission to cut the carbon tax? I don't think so. So that's a real half measure from Premier Eby. He's also said that he's not going to cancel it. He's going to cancel the consumer portion and shift it on to the big job creators in our province. British Columbians need carbon tax cuts. We don't need him to rebrand it and shift it on to the big job creators in this province. So on carbon tax relief, which is top of mind to so many British Columbians right now, the Conservatives are clearly bringing forward the stronger policy. Another big thing we're asking for is real taxpayer protections. Now, you in Alberta, you know all about taxpayer protections. It's what prevents big bossy government from skimming more money off your paycheck whenever they want to. And what we're pushing for, pushing real hard in BC, is to see a law, not just a promise, but an actual law that would require the government to hold a referendum before they hike or create any new taxes. Think about this, folks. The politicians work for you. Mm-hmm. You should have a say before the politicians skim more money off your paycheck every month. That's common sense. And once again, we're actually seeing a commitment from that from the BC Conservatives. It is good policy to give taxpayers a say before big bossy government takes even more of their money. The last one's going to be tough, Chris, but we need to see spending cuts from this government or from the next BC government. We are spending record-breaking amounts of money in British Columbia because we've got record high taxes. And what do we have to show for it? Let me read you some statistics. Since the NDP has been in power and started hiking taxes on normal British Columbians, groceries are 32% more expensive. Owning a home is 37% more expensive. If you're a renter like me, 32% more expensive. And sit down for this one, folks. But gasoline, 53% more expensive. Those are the essentials of life, right? Yeah. Groceries to feed your belly, mm-hmm. a roof to put over your head, and gasoline so you can get to school or work every day. Those essentials are super expensive, and more spending from government has just made them more expensive. We also can't afford government to pay for new spending with debt.
No.
Just the interest on British Columbia's debt this year alone is about $4.7 billion. If debt repayment was a ministry, it would have the fourth biggest budget in BC's government. We're spending more just on interest on the debt than we are on children and family development.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting, and it's totally avoidable. Debt is just taxes that are put off until tomorrow. Every dollar of government debt that government borrows is a dollar plus interest that normal taxpayers are on the hook for. We need politicians to show that they've got some fiscal discipline, that they're not going to treat taxpayers like an endless well forever, because we're not.
Well, that is a breath of fresh air hearing that from BC. For a while there, they were doing some good things like keeping the budget balanced. And if it wasn't balanced, they would actually punish the minister responsible for overruns for his or her department with a pay cut. Like they would have to take a pay cut. So there was some seriousness previously with the BC government. And to be fair, for the first couple of years for the Horgan government. So their capital spending was going up, yes, but their overall budget was still balanced. But it got away on them fast. And I can't believe how big your deficit is out there. And there's no excuse for it. Like British Columbia is literally sitting on a gold mine of natural resources. Like there is no excuse. It's not like they're in the middle of the desert and all they can produce is glass and, you know, the glass market is down. No, they've got all these options, all these ports, all these trade agreements. It's just gross.
Well, and more than the ports and the resources, we also have the brilliant and skilled British Columbians to make money off those resources. So the fact that government, despite winning the lottery, by being in British Columbia, the fact that they still can't balance their own budgets makes me wonder if these guys could fight their way out of a wet paper bag. It's absolutely gobsmacking the bad budgeting we've been seeing from our politicians here in BC.
That's a pretty good line. So here in Alberta, we do have the Taxpayer Protection Act, and it's been around for many decades. And it's one of the main things that the Taxpayers Federation is super proud of. And largely what it does is, yes, it's been amended now to include no tax increases, but primarily it's why we don't have a PST. So we don't have a sales tax. We're the only province in all of Canada that doesn't have one. Why? Because you'd need to get a referendum from the people, from Albertans, to vote in favor of a sales tax. Like, good luck. Enjoy. On that issue of a sales tax, Devin, I wanted to bring it back to you. So we do have politicians promising to reduce the absolutely gross level of their sales tax in New Brunswick. Did I hear that right?
Yes, absolutely. So they're looking to cut from 15 total to 13%. This would be done over a 2-year period. Of course, we would like to see it done immediately.
Yeah.
And we'd also like to see them commit to further cutting it by more than 2%. I mean, that's just bringing it back to where we were a few years ago. But it is, tax cuts are on the menu in the election. So looking forward to seeing that hopefully be enacted.
And Gage, did I hear that right as well? Are both parties promising PST cuts? I forget what you guys call your PST in Saskatchewan.
We just have a PST, nothing harmonized with the federal government. I don't think that
fancy.
Would fly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly in Saskatchewan. But so far, it is just the NDP who are promising PST cuts, but they're not promising anything wholesale, like dropping it down a percentage point, which would obviously be much better. They're simply trying to expand the exemptions to back where they were a few years ago before the SAS party hiked them up, specifically on things like snacks and children's clothes and stuff like that, to make it a little bit more easier.
Sorry to spring it on you. And if you don't know, that's okay. What is your current status with your PST on used vehicles? Because that really burns me every single time. In British Columbia, for example, if you're buying it privately, I think it's 12 or 13% from a private seller. So you save up all your nickels for some used Toyota Corolla and you get nuked with the PST in British Columbia. All of a sudden you sit down to the state-run ICBC, by the way, which they also need to get rid of that monopoly, and you're all of a sudden hit with like a $500 or $400 bill. Like, that's outrageous. One, you've already paid PST on that thing. It's already been sold. Two, you are hurting poor people doing that. And in BC even, they don't even believe you anymore on what you say you paid for it. They have their own little government black book, what they decide that it was worth, and they'll nail you with a PST for that. Sorry to again spring it on you, Gage, but is there any movement on changes for that in Saskatchewan? I can't remember how badly they screw people on used vehicles there.
So yeah, you still got to pay it when you go and you buy a used vehicle, despite, you know, already been paid when that vehicle was new. I'm not sure if there's going to be any new changes on this election, but it's important to point out as well, you know, being so close to Alberta, sometimes you think, hey, maybe I'll just drive to Lethbridge or Medicine Hat and buy a vehicle. but then you grab it, you take it back home to SGI to register it. And they're like, I think you forgot the Saskatchewan government's portion of that car you just bought. You've got to pay PST anyways.
Oh, see, that's a perfect example. And it's a great interprovincial example, too, of once you let a government hit you with something like a PST, they get ravenous for that money. So here, so there's a great little story between British Columbia and Alberta. Way back in the Gordon Campbell era of British Columbia, they've still got their PST, blah, blah, blah. But smart folks in British Columbia would wait to make their big purchases on things like computers and appliances and that sort of stuff. They'd wait for their summer road trip out here to Alberta. So they would go to places like Costco and Best Buy and The Brick or whatever, and they would make their big purchases sans PST. So off the top, you're saving at least 7%. If you get a good sale, you're really saving buck. Here's the gross government story. The BC government was so eager to suck that blood out of those taxpayers that they got wind of this. They contacted these big box retailers in Alberta saying, hey, can you go take video of your parking lot of the BC license plates and send these photos and videos back to us, because we want to nail these British Columbians with the equivalent PST. Yeah,
that's awful. I mean, fortunately, the Saskatchewan government isn't quite as greedy.
I'm not giving them ideas. No.
Yeah, still, you don't say that too loudly. I grew up pretty close to the Alberta border, and it's the exact same thing. Before back to school shopping, we drive to Medicine Hat. It was an hour and a half. Makes way more sense than going to Regina, and you're saving money. And that's one of the biggest things with the PST, too. Because everybody in Saskatchewan, Alberta loves to drive, they will drive to save some money. And that helps the Alberta economy, not Saskatchewan.
Yep, big time. And the good news of the story is all of the companies told the BC government to get bent. And they took them to court and they won. Right back to the lawyers. Thanks, Devin.
Yeah. See, sometimes we're doing the good fight. I know we are here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. So.
Exactly. So lastly, I wanted to leave on a fun note. So to put it nicely, we're of a different generation, my guests today and myself. And here we are gathered before we're taping right before the Thanksgiving long weekend. And we can't get enough of politics. Trust me, if we turned off this camera and we just phoned each other, we would yak for like 6 hours about politics. That's a little weird. So we're a little bit strange that way of being big into politics. So I wanted to go around the horn really quick because I really wanted to get our listeners and our viewers to know you guys better of what inspired you. How far back does it go? What got you into politics, into public policy, into caring about things like lower taxes, less waste, and accountable government? I'll start with you, Devin.
Yeah, so I, as you've mentioned, I'm a Newfoundlander. I've been living here all my life. And I think what really made me interested in politics, even from a young age, is the way Newfoundland and Labrador, this little rock in the east, in the eastern part of Canada, gets treated by Ottawa. And we have a very difficult relationship with the federal government, regardless of stripe. And I think that's always had me quite interested to see kind of the disputes that have arisen between our province, which only joined Confederation in 1949. So we've not been a part of this this country for that long compared to other provinces, how we fit in. And it's, you know, it's always been amusing following kind of that those disputes. And it's also made me very focused on, you know, kind of making sure government is listening to the people it represents and not just, you know, some people in central Canada, but also making sure that, you know, the powers of government are limited so people in Newfoundland and Labrador can live as freely as possible. And I think, you know, those are kind of the topics that got me interested in it. And, you know, basically since I started, you know, started paying more attention and getting more mad about the federal government, the more interested I've become. And now I'm happy to wake up every day and be fighting for taxpayers, whether in Atlantic Canada or in courts across the country.
Oh, that's awesome. I was a very little child, very little, when Reagan first won. And I was watching on a little tiny TV. And then I remember vividly when he won again. And it was just after that that the Challenger blew up. And it was traumatic because all of us little elementary school children watched it live. So we'd written colored letters to this teacher, sent her pictures, and then we watched her die. And none back then were Gen X. None of the parents knew what to do or say. Teachers was like, okay, everybody back to math. And we didn't know what to do. That night, Ronald Reagan went on the air as the great communicator and took a moment to speak to the school children who were watching that day, getting chills right now. And that's when I really got hooked. on communication, politics, leadership, all of that great stuff. 12 gauge, what got you into politics?
Well, much like Devin out there, I don't think there's many Saskatchewanians who have a friendly relationship with the federal government. So that's always a part of it.
I love that it's our shared culture of hating Ottawa. Like, this is the shirt you can literally buy at the CTF store. Sorry, go ahead, Gage.
But the biggest thing for me is when I got a job, you know, my first job was at the local movie theater back in my hometown in Southwest Saskatchewan. I've always heard my family, you know, I come from a family of farmers, getting really mad about things about the wheat board, about how much taxes they're paying. And I was a kid, I was like, it can't be that bad. You guys are just grumpy. You're always grumpy. And then I went to go work at the movie theater and I was like, okay, I'm going to make this much money, a couple hundred bucks, a lot for a kid. And then I get it back. And about half of that is gone to the government. And I'm like, what on earth is this for? So then it made me kind of get more interested and figure out what is the government actually spending all my money on? And I've come to the conclusion, not a lot of good stuff. And I'd rather just have that money back in my pocket. And that's why I'm sitting here today.
I'm picturing young Gage on the farm in overalls, picking up like a tattered copy of the Taxpayer magazine, super mad. And that was it. Like the fountainhead of ideas would have just started at that moment. Carson, what got you engaged in this motley crew?
Yeah, so just like Gage, I'm originally from South Central Saskatchewan, from a little town where it gets so cold in the winter. Occasionally, you'll catch a politician with their hands in their own pockets for a change. And when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my dad got a new job. He got involved with international development, helping rebuild conflict and post-conflict societies. So we moved all around the world. And during that time, I truly saw some of the best of humanity, but also the worst of governments and the worst of politics. And when I was a teenager, I moved back to Canada, moved out west to BC, and I got really worried that we were seeing Canada go down the same path that I had seen in countries around the world. Government getting bigger and bossier, mm-hmm. people's rights being chewed away by that big bossy government, the middle class disappearing, lineups at the food bank near my house growing longer and longer and longer every week as more and more families are being forced to feed their kids on donated peanut butter and spaghetti.
Yeah,
power and all the money being concentrated in this really small group of political insiders and allies. And I thought that's just wrong. That's not what Canada is. That's not what Canadians should stand for. So I decided to get involved with politics to make sure that the little guy has a voice, that politics works for the people and not just for the connected insiders. So I got involved in politics, and folks, I haven't looked back since.
I love it. That's all very honorable reasons to get involved. We've only got about 5 minutes left here on this call. I wanted to go around the horn really quick with our taxpayer pro tip that we have for this week. My one very quickly is to our Premier of Alberta. I'm sure she's going to do it any day now. I know she's taking Justin Trudeau to court all the time about everything. So she just hasn't gotten to it yet. Premier, now would be good. So please help out New Brunswick Premier, Premier Higgs. Jump over the top rope, tag in, and help fight the carbon tax at the Supreme Court level. So get Alberta to intervene, get Alberta to be a leader in that court fight. So that is my taxpayer pro tip straight out to the Premier. I'll start with you there, Gage. What's your taxpayer pro tip for this week?
My taxpayer pro tip goes out to any taxpayer who's going to be voting in an election this month, is to check out the details. You're going to see press releases and news stories from political parties of all stripes saying they're going to do X, Y, and Z for you and make your life a lot better. But sometimes it doesn't give you the full story. So, you know, head to their party websites, actually look at the backgrounders that they have and find out if what they're telling you on the TV is actually how they're going to save you money, and then make your decision. Don't just listen to the headlines.
Carson?
Yeah, my taxpayer pro tip goes out to the two guys running to be premier of BC. That's David Eby and John Rustad. Gentlemen, if you want to show British Columbians that you're supporting us, that you're taking affordability seriously, which we know is the top issue that British Columbians are voting on, then cut taxes. Show us how you're going to save more money for us instead of skimming more off of our paychecks every month. Show us your plan to save British Columbians money by cutting taxes.
Outstanding tip, sir. Last but not least, you're out on the rock. I think it's half past something out there, Devin. What's your taxpayer pro tip?
My taxpayer pro tip goes out to the other premiers in Atlantic Canada besides Blaine Higgs and New Brunswick. We have three other provinces out here paying 15% HST. I'm confident that more than New Brunswickers want to see tax relief. So if you're the premier of Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, or PEI, my tip to you is to also commit to cutting HST from 15% to 13% or even more in the coming years.
Excellent pro tip. I have family out that way and lived out that way for many years, and it is surprisingly expensive to shop for anything. Every time you go up to the cash register, you're nailed in the face with this 15% bat of a sales tax. So often that I notice that even the grocery stores now, sales tax isn't usually on fresh groceries, but it is on snacks and a lot of other non-perishables. It was so common, this infliction of the sales tax, that they started having advertising. I don't know if they have it around you. Every now and then on a Saturday, it'll be like PST free or HST free. Like, say, you know, of course, they're still charging it, but they're eating it because they're giving you the sale price. That is how expensive it is in Atlantic Canada. So that is an excellent taxpayer pro tip. Folks, if you want to know more about the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, if you despise Ottawa and want this nifty shirt, this is why we can't have nice things, and it's got a picture of Centre Block on it. Or if you just want to join the taxpayer army, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. Find a petition that speaks to you. Maybe you want to scrap the carbon tax. Maybe you want to stop the gun grab, Gage. Maybe you want to defund the CBC. Sign those petitions, and the next time we're going to do a mass email or a rally or have a barbecue or do something like that, you are then part of the standing army. You will get your update, you will get your email, and you will be part of the solution, because that is how you stand up and be heard.